Good morning. So wonderful to gather together for our worship service this morning. Always exciting to see everyone coming together for a time of worship. We'll be blessed with our children singing us and leading us in worship this morning. So I'm thrilled to see everyone and wanted to welcome us. If you are a guest with us or you have never filled out a guest card, we have those in the pew located right in front of you. And that's just so we can get a little bit of information about you. If you could, we would love for you to fill one of those out and put it in the offering plate when that comes around a little bit later in the service. We have just a couple of announcements to make sure we're all aware of a few things. First being, our Wednesday night meal sign-ups have started, and we've already got several names. In the atrium, you'll see on the little table there where all the sign-ups occur, a sheet that talks about or has a date for every Wednesday in March. And if you could put your name down there and your family's number of people next to your name for each meal that you will be here for Wednesday night in March so we can get a better understanding of how to prepare the food. And speaking of which, Mandy Moss will be meeting right down here in front right after the worship service again. Had a tremendous number talk with her last Sunday, and it's time to clarify a few things and hopefully see just as many, if not a few more, come back down this Sunday to talk about how to implement things starting in just a couple weeks. Are there any other announcements we have before we begin our worship service, though? Okay. Well, seeing none, let's bow our heads and begin by praying together. God, we are so grateful to be here, right here and right now. God, we thank you for calling us together as your church, as your faith family. Lord, we know that when you bring us together, there's purpose and there's meaning behind that. Lord, first and foremost, it is to give you worship, to give you praise, to be transformed into your Son's likeness. God, show us what that means. Open our minds and our hearts to see how we can become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in our attitude, in our perspective, in our hearts, and the way we love one another throughout this week ahead. God, prepare us for that. Bring us into your presence right here, Lord. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
Thank you, Angel Choir. Page 395, God of Grace and God of Glory. Let's all stand.
God
I love hearing the angel choir sing this morning about worshiping God. How exciting is that? I always love hearing that. Well, I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask and see how many of you have a pet. So first of all, just raise your hand if you have a pet at home, any kind of pet at home. Now tell me, what kind of pets do you have at home?
I have a doggy.
You have a doggy? You too? You too?
I have two fishes.
Two fish? Cat? Cats? Dog? Dogs. We have a lot of dogs, a lot of... One more? Right. We are excited about our pets, right? I love our pets. I love our little dog. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of a chinchilla? That's a little pet that some people have. And I remember working at an animal hospital a long time ago when I was in high school, and there was a chinchilla there, and it had the softest fur I've ever felt. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. It was almost like you couldn't even feel it. Well, I have something here that I want you to feel. This is kind of soft, but it's not near as soft as a chinchilla, but feel that. You see that? It's a pink blanket. It's not mine, I promise. It's actually Lillian's. But I want you to feel the blanket. You see how soft that is? It's really soft, right? Now feel this. What does that feel like? Is that soft? That's rough, isn't it? That's rough. You don't like that, right? Sandpaper. That's rough. That's not near as soft as the blanket, right? Well, the sandpaper and the blanket, they kind of remind me of two different types of people sometimes. You see, there's two different types of people. Sometimes people may be a little rough, meaning they may not be as nice. They may be mean to you sometimes, and they may not want to be your friend sometimes, right? And then there's people who maybe are like the soft blanket, and they're loving, and they're kind, and they want to be your friend, right? Well, Jesus actually talks about these two different types of people in the Bible in Matthew chapter 5. Let's listen to what Jesus says, and I'll explain it to you, okay? Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that they may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Listen to this. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is saying something here. He's saying something really important. He's saying we should love everybody and anybody all the time. And you may think it's kind of hard to maybe love people or be nice to people who aren't nice to us back.
But Jesus is teaching us here that we're supposed to, because that shows God's love to them. So when we're kind and nice to other people, even if they aren't to us, that shows them that Jesus loves them and we love them like God teaches us. Okay? So let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your son Jesus teaching us what it means to love and be kind to everyone. Show us how to do that, God, this week. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
As they are returning to their seats, let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns. I have some names I need to add today. First, I'd like to add the name of Miss Lillian Bisping. You know that is Nettie Keith's mom, and they carried her by ambulance this morning to the hospital. I haven't been able to get up with Nettie. She got word to Mark. Of course, she would be here with her children if she were able, but we do want to keep Miss Lillian in our prayers in just a very special way. I don't know any more than that, but please keep her in your prayers. And then also we're adding the name of Miss Jean Culberson McNeese, that's Carol's aunt, who had a fall and is facing some surgery. And also we want to add the name of Mamie Barber, and that is Gail's, her mother, who has some heart issues. They're right now they're treating that with medication, but we want to keep Miss Mamie lifted up in our prayers as well. I got a call this morning, or text this morning, from Anthony. He is home from the hospital, but he is still having a great deal of difficulty with the jaw and that situation. We need to be keeping Anthony in our prayers in a very special way. I appreciate all the care and concern for my mom. She's been having a great deal of pain issues in recent days, and we are trying to help her get a handle on that. Appreciate you continuing to remember her in your prayers. Stephanie Pace had surgery this week and did well with that. We want to continue to remember Stephanie in our prayers. And also, I would ask you to be remembering Rebecca. Rebecca's going to go tomorrow to see an orthopedic doctor. They have believe she has a lipoma, which is a little fatty tumor in her wrist that is causing a great deal of discomfort, and we're going to hopefully find some things out about that tomorrow. This list is long of folks we're praying for, that we're keeping lifted up. Haley Davis in the mission trip, that we want to keep that in our prayers. And just a lot of folks with needs. And we serve a God who can meet our needs. Would you pray with me? Lord, we haven't mentioned every name, but you have not forgot anyone. And Lord, who might be considered the least in this world, you love them as much as who we might consider the greatest. Your love is amazing. And it is your love that allows us to love people who might be rough on the outside, like that sandpaper, and not just those who are soft. And Lord, we just pray now that as we have mentioned these that have special needs, God, that you would bless them. We especially want to lift Miss Lillian to you right now, Lord, and ask that you would be with her in a very special way and be with that family. And God, we just pray they might feel our prayers. And now as we continue to worship you this day in spirit and in truth, we are grateful for what you are doing in our midst, what you're doing in our homes, what you're doing in our lives. And today, oh God, we ask that you might give us the ability in our worship to be even better as you speak to us in all that we will sing and say and do, that it might be to your glory. In Christ's name we pray.
Thank you, Instruments of Christ. We've lost two Wednesday night rehearsals and wondered if we were going to be able to pull that off, and they did a great job. I appreciate that. And appreciate Mark and Ben for taking over for Annette. They would be down there anyway. But we're going to be in prayer for Annette. As well as our children, they'll be working towards our spring program, and I'm sure that will be enjoyable by everyone. Page 392, give to us a social conscience, which enables us to see that all folk are your creation and that they have dignity. Let's all stand. 392.
Stir your church, O God, our Father. Move throughout its life today. Cultivate a sense of vision in our hearts and minds, we pray. Help us to renew commitment to a way of ministry, which interprets for our culture how your truth can make us free. Make your church a living witness to the power of its Lord. Send us to the world around us with your Spirit and
pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship in your house today. Please accept this humble offering and guide us to use it in a way which pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
people said, amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, instruments of Christ, and thank you, angel choir. We have been blessed this day with the music from our children and from our choir and from your singing. As we begin now to move in a part of our worship to focus what we focused on in Sunday school and Bible study of spiritual discipline, now let us move to that same passage in worship as we look together at 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Paul is instructing the young apprentice, the young associate, the young pastor-to-be. And in this glimpse of giving him words, he gives us words of what a real disciple is all about. Second Timothy chapter 4, the first 8 verses. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from the listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us this morning again? Thank you for all you have said, for all you're about to say. And we who have spiritual ears, let us hear. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your hymn book to page 287, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of our service this morning. Someone has said that football, and you could take whatever sport you wanted, but that football is a game where 22 people who desperately need rest are being watched by 50,000 people who desperately need to be exercising. Now, that makes some sense to me. What is spiritual discipline? Let me ask us a question. Is there such a thing as an undisciplined disciple of our Lord and Savior? Now, that's a very important question. One that I don't know that I have time this morning to answer. But one that should cause us some serious reflection. I sometimes think that maybe in just one word it would be to say that an undisciplined disciple is like dry water. Just doesn't exist. It seems to me to be the opposite. In other words, to answer my own first question, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as an undisciplined disciple. Well, you chew on that for a while this week. Discipline. We all know we ought to do it. And no one wants to do it. I can tell you right now what the doctor's going to tell us when we go for our next physical, can't you? And one thing he's going to say, or she's going to say, is a little more exercise. A little more exercise. How do we exercise spiritually? What does a disciplined disciple look like? Well, Paul, in our passage today, gives us some ideas of what an undisciplined disciple looks like. And then he tells young Timothy how to be a disciplined one. A disciplined disciple is ready to share. Look with me back at our text at verse 2. When he says, preach the word, proclaim the word, is the word in Greek that is kerygma, to share the gospel. And we sometimes think that that is a 30-minute assignment on Sunday mornings. But preaching the word, that's an assignment for every believer every day. He goes on to maybe help us understand. He said, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready when it's expected of you, and be ready when it's unexpected of you. To reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with complete patience and teaching. To share. A disciplined disciple is willing to share the truth that we have been entrusted with. I've discovered one of Satan's great lies. One of Satan's great lies is, once you know enough, you can share more. Once you know enough, then you'll be able to really be that wonderful sharer of the faith. And yet Satan knows that that's a way of helping us never to get started. Never to start. We can always, because see, if I were to interpret that statement a little further, once I know enough, I'll share, then you could logically conclude that, and until I know enough, what? I won't share. I'm not responsible to share. It's not my task to share. I don't know enough. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? What if I'm sharing and they know more about what they're saying than I know about what I'm saying? What? Oh, and we can begin to talk ourselves out of being one who shares the gospel. I'm still becoming more and more comfortable with answering the question, how are you doing, with the answer that I'm blessed. I struggle with it just a hair because I don't want it to sound conceited. I don't want anyone to hear me say when I say I'm blessed that I feel like I have some special blessing. But what is interesting to me is, and you know now when you go into stores, aren't they obligated to meet you at the door and ask how you're doing? I love that. I love that. I love when the cash register at Food Lion asks me how I'm doing. Or at the Dollar Tree, one of my favorite stores. I love it when they ask that question. Because now I've started answering, I'm getting more comfortable with, I'm saying I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And some of them just sort of look at you like, you're what? And some of them, you can tell for a moment, they're thinking a thought. They're thinking a thought they haven't thought in a while about their own life, about their own walk with God, about their own blessings. A disciplined life finds those ways to share. And that's really all I share. I don't stop and preach a sermon, although I could. I don't. That's usually the end of my answer. How are you doing? I'm blessed. Find a way to start where you are. The important thing is to start. A disciplined disciple must start. You can never walk a mile until at first you walk 10 yards. You can never do 25 push-ups until first you do that first one. You can't do those crunches or those setups until first you start. You've got to start. And the devil knows if he can keep us from starting, he can stop us. A disciplined life is ready to share all the time, in every circumstance, at every place. And a disciplined life is preparing more and more to be able to share more and more. Because those opportunities, they're there. The more we intentionally grow in our walk with God, the better we'll be able to minister to others. And as I come a little later in the sermon, I want you to understand that that's really why spiritual discipline is so important for others. For others. The more we minister to others, the more we grow in our discipleship. I bet many of us sitting here could say the story I'm fixing to share. You could say it. You've been there and you've done that. Have you ever gone to minister to someone? Maybe you heard that there was a shut-in. Oh, and you can do it with those that are homebound more than anywhere else, I think. But or maybe someone that had a trouble and you went to see them. And as you walked out of the door, you had that stark reality that you had been blessed more than you blessed. You know what I'm saying? You received a greater blessing than you gave. You went to give a blessing. You went to help them, and they helped you. You went to encourage them, and they encouraged you. You ever seen that? You ever had that experience? You know why you had that experience? That's the way God made it to be. That's God's plan. God understands. And if we can get a glimpse of it there in that moment, then we can see a bigger picture that the more I do that, the more I minister, the more I share. Sometimes it'll be tough, but even in the toughness, when he talks about enduring suffering, when we do it in Jesus' name, it is a blessing. Only God could do that. And God wants to do that. We are disciplined to share because sharing helps us to grow. Part of the way we share is the second point I'd like to share this morning. We are disciplined to show. Look with me, if you would, at verse 5. For as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. A disciplined life is obvious to others. It's obvious to others. Are you a spiritual disciple? Are you a growing disciple? Is our church a discipling station? Then think about it. Maybe let's just cut to the chase. Let's just cut to the chase. You want to? Is there anyone who would look at you and say, by your words, by my actions, by my deeds, by who we are, I don't believe that's a Christian. I don't believe a Christian acts like that. I don't believe a Christian talks like that. I don't believe a Christian goes to places like that. I don't believe a Christian behaves like that. Fulfilling our ministry all the time is our call, isn't it? That's what a disciplined disciple is, that we understand that every moment when we rise up, there's never a day off from being a disciple. There's never a day off from being a disciple. We are a disciple 24/7. And they'll know we're Christians by our love. How we show them. What we do matters. How we live matters. What we believe matters. The world is looking for answers, don't you think? The world is desperately looking for answers. We must be spiritually disciplined to harness God's power. I want to suggest this morning, as we have gathered here, and thank you for your attendance today. Thank you for the faithful attendance and the Sunday school emphasis. Thank you for being here. I want to share with you that I believe there is power that is still unharnessed by our church, by every church. I believe God can still do more. I believe He can have a greater influence in our community. I still believe God can make a difference when we're showing others that we love Him. I wonder today if the Holy Spirit might be bringing some area to our mind where we're not as disciplined as we ought to be. We're just not as disciplined as we want to be. And we know it. Maybe it's when we get angry, we're not so disciplined. Maybe when we get frustrated, we're not so disciplined. Maybe when we get stressed, we're not so disciplined. Maybe when we get distracted, we're just not so disciplined. Maybe when we get busy, we're not so disciplined. Maybe when we leave church, we're just not that disciplined. The last point I bring us to this morning is that of sacrifice. Paul, at this moment of encouraging young Timothy, while he is in prison in Rome, says, I'm already being poured out, verse 6, as a drink offering. And the time of my death has come, he says. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Would we be brave enough to say, put that on my tombstone? I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Sacrifice. Someone has asked, have you ever noticed that opportunity only knocks once, but temptation bangs on your door constantly? Have you ever noticed that? Well, I think opportunity knocks a lot more than we know. I think there may be one piece of truth. It doesn't bang on the door like temptation. I love the old... You remember Doc on Hee Haw? Boy, if y'all remember Hee Haw. But there was a Doc on this little funny country show that folks would come to him, and one fella came and he said, Doc, I broke my arm in two places. And the Doc said, well, stay out of those two places, you see. There's some places we ought to stay out of. There's some thoughts we ought to stay away from. There's some songs we ought to stay away from. There's some TV channels we ought to stay away from. There's some websites we need to stay away from because they'll hurt our witness. And they will be evidence of an undisciplined life. And they will hurt the cause of Jesus Christ in this world. Opportunity is there. It's knocking. God's just a prayer away all the time. All the time. All the time. He's a prayer away. Isn't that amazing? What we do really matters. I want us to understand in closing this morning two important truths that give us insight. What we do matters. And I had that reminded to me last night. My family's been in and we had those old VHSs. You remember when, guys, y'all won't even believe what I'm going to tell you. I used to have a home movie. That thing was that long. You had to put it up here on your shoulder and had a vision. And I got videos of Christmas and I got videos of birthday parties and church events and ball games. And we're taking all of those, and we're taking them now, we're putting them on DVD. I can't hardly wait till DVDs go out and we get something else. We got to move them all over to again. But while we were doing that last night, It's one of those moments, and you know, you let those things sit for a long time. It's been years, and suddenly last night, my daddy was on TV, and my daddy died in 1990. And there was my dad. And there was my granddad who died in 91. And there was my father-in-law who died in 92. And there was my mother-in-law who lived with me the last 13 years of her life. And I thought, their influence, what they did matters. Moms and dads, what we do matters. The habits we give to our children, it matters. They still matter to me. They still influence me. And when I saw them, and I saw my daddy grin like only my daddy could grin, I remembered that grin. And every now and then folks say, I grin like that. I don't know, but it matters. His influence in my heart and in my mind, my granddad's, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. And I thought, what we do matters. A disciplined disciple. A disciplined disciple. Because brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if there is such a thing, and I don't believe there is, but if there is such a thing as an undisciplined disciple, then that matters too. And what we'll teach is an undisciplined faith. And I'm not sure that's the faith that Christ died for. We're influencing people, how we talk and how we go on Facebook and how we talk about our politics and whether we attend church or whether we don't attend church, whether we're faithful to pray or whether we're unfaithful to pray, whether we minister when there's opportunity or whether we wait for someone else. A disciplined disciple is not a haphazard believer. A disciplined disciple is not a haphazard believer who might pray for you today and mistreat you tomorrow. Who might be singing the praises of God and acting more like an ungodly, worldly man or woman the next day. What we do matters. There's more to come. I love the story, and you've probably heard it or read it. The way I heard it was this way, that a lady had been diagnosed with cancer and she knew she was going to die. And she called her pastor in, and I've had those conversations. And she was good enough to share with him about what she wanted done in her service. And then she made a strange request, or at least it sounded strange to start with. And this leads me to that second truth that I want us to remember. Not only what we do matters, but what we believe matters as well. Because her request was, and Pastor, when I'm dead and they put me in the casket, I want my Bible that I've had for years in my right hand. And I want a fork in the left hand. Fork, you might ask. Well, he was perplexed, as you might imagine, unless you've heard the story. And she said, well, you might wonder, Pastor, why I want a fork. A disciplined disciple. A disciplined disciple. He said, yes, I'm a little curious about a fork. Never had that request before. She said, well, you know, Pastor, when you go to someone's house to eat, or we come to the church at potluck and they're starting to clear the table, that every now and then they'll announce, keep your fork. Keep your fork. You can get rid of all them dirty dishes, but keep your fork. You know why? Because something good's coming. You keep your fork because, as she said, the best is yet to come. And I want people to know, as I'm laying there in that casket with that fork in my hand, that I have believed all my life there's a heaven. I believed all my life that God had a bigger plan than I could see. And I want them to ask about that fork. And I want you to tell them, the best is yet to be. The best is yet to be. Let me ask us a question. Do we believe that? Do we really believe in heaven? You know, I think it was kind of a sad insight, and I remember seeing the movie All Dogs Go to Heaven. You know how the culture has just taken heaven and changed it? Can I share with you a truth? Heaven is only for those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for everybody. Everybody's invited. Whosoever will can come. But it's what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's how we're a disciple of His that matters. Paul could say at this moment, I'm already being poured out as an offering, the time of my departure's hand. I fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And because I fought a good fight, because I finished the race, because I kept the faith, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness in glory. When we know and understand that more is coming, sacrificing is not only worth it, but we'll welcome it. We'll look forward to no matter what might happen. As our culture continues to move further and further away from God, we're invited to move closer and closer to God as believers. And we'll make a difference in our neighbor, in the folks we go to school with, in the folks we work with, in the folks at Dollar Tree and Food Line. We can make a difference. If we're disciplined disciples who share and show and sacrifice, because we know something else is coming, something greater than we can imagine. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. The glory that is to come. This morning, are we like the football players? Or those sitting in the stadium? Where would God have us exercise today? Exercise our faith. What do we need to give to God? What do we need to change? May the Spirit speak as we listen to His still voice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your blessings to us. Thank You for the Apostle Paul, who taught us so much by how he lived, how he sacrificed, how he was ready in season and out of season to share the gospel, to show Your love, to do whatever needed to advance Your kingdom. Make us like that. Forgive us where we failed. Challenge us as we move into Your future. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 287. Take my life, lead me, Lord. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, and you need to make some decision about your walk with Him, we want to invite and encourage you to do so as we stand together.
Take my life.
Would you be seated for just a moment? Molly, come in with me, sweetie. Had a wonderful conversation this week with Miss Molly, and she comes today professing Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and would like to be an official member of Flat Springs Baptist Church after her baptism. Do I hear a motion? Y'all ready, right? Do I hear a motion that we receive her into our church fellowship? We're getting better. We can still do better, though, but we're getting better. Molly, all that would join me in welcoming her, would you let that be known by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Molly, I'll shake your hand again. We are so proud of you. You are a part of us, and now you have taken another, I can't tell you how important step you've taken today. And I am grateful for how you are being faithful with what God has revealed to you. And I'm excited about all that God is going to do. She's going to join me at the door, and I know you're going to want to come by and promise her, as you hug her neck and tell her how proud you are, by doing that, you're also going to be her prayer partner. Because all of our children, they need prayer partners in this world in which we live. And this is such a wonderful step. We are so proud of you. Jennifer, your surgery is this Thursday. Jennifer Perry's is having surgery on her foot. She's going to be laid up a while, and we want to keep her in our prayers also at that time. Would you stand with me? Very quickly, our wild game dinner is coming. It is now time that if you find roadkill, you can just put it in the fridge. You don't have to freeze it. Just put it in the fridge. March the 8th. Hope that you'll invite especially outdoor folks who maybe aren't in church anywhere, but would be interested in coming to a time. We've got a good person, I think, that'll be sharing the faith as well as some stories. And so put that on your mark as one of our outreach tools. We're excited about that. And if you're interested in helping us beyond March, if we see this ministry is viable to move beyond March of eating every Wednesday night together, we'll see how you sign up. And be aware that when you sign up, we're going to fix your food. We might have to come looking for you for your money if you don't show up, but we're going to fix your food because we want to do this on a very accountable way that we'll fix just enough food to make this a viable part of our fellowship each Wednesday night, and maybe help our other old ministries as well. So we're looking forward to that. If you would meet with Mandy, those of you that thought about it last week, or if you want to hear more about what we're thinking about, then come down here and join her. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Molly's decision to follow you. Thank you for her commitment that will change her life and all her family's life from this day forward. And God, remind us as we leave this place that you've called us to be your sons and daughters. Help us to be faithful to the family name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.